I'm Brad Cresswell. It's Afternoon Classics here on FM 91. I have a guest in the studio. We're going to have a little classical conversation with Kathy Kelly. Welcome, Kathy.
Thank you so much for having me.
Kathy is a pianist. Kathy's on faculty at the University of Michigan, also a dynamic opera conductor, somebody who has been in the business working with top singers for many, many years, including Dmitri Hvorostovsky. You worked with him on several occasions.
I did. I was lucky to work with him at the Metropolitan Opera and in Houston and at the Vienna Staatsoper.
Yeah.
So,
well, how were your interactions with him? How would you characterize him as an artist and as a person, as a colleague?
Well, I mean, he's one of the greatest singers of his generation. I mean, that was true from the time that he started. An absolutely memorable voice with total technical command of it, but also a lot of heart, you know? He could do really impressive things, but it was never like for the sake of being impressive. It was always connected to something very deep and expressive. And he was just incredibly charismatic and energetic. He had endless energy for other people and really electric smile and was the kind of person who always brought the energy of a room up and together. He was a wonderful colleague.
Yeah. I've heard that from so many people and so many tributes pouring in today from people in the field and from his admirers, his fan base as well on social media. I only brushed shoulders with him a few times during my career in opera singing, but he was always very courteous, you know, to strangers, such as I was to him at the time. So it's wonderful that we were able to partake of his talent for the time that we had. Given that, you know, Thanksgiving right around the corner, it really makes you stop and think about the things that are important in life.
Absolutely. And about the incredible gift of someone who's got the combination of qualities he had. You know, it's a gift to have artistry on that level, but also that level of generosity. You know, he performed so much. He was from Siberia. He went back to his hometown all the time, even though he left it. I'm always amazed when people have got that level of career and so many admirers around them that they're able to maintain energy to be kind to everyone and to give everyone some energy. That's amazing to watch, that kind of generosity.
And I think that it was a part of his singing as well. He had such a sense of empathy that ran very, very deep, and you can hear it in his recordings. You can see it in the many videos of him and his performances online. And if you ever had the opportunity to see him perform in person, then you know it was just electrifying.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Dmitri Hvorostovsky passing away at the age of 55. Well, Kathy, the real reason that you're here today, is aside from a little tribute to Hvorostovsky, is to talk about an event that's happening at Carytown Concert House. That's one of the hats that I didn't mention that you wear, is artistic director at Carytown Concert House, which is a wonderful concert venue in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And we want to talk a little bit about an event that's happening, is it next Tuesday, the 28th?
Tuesday, right? The 28th, yes.
At 8 o'clock p.m. It's called Song Slam, which not quite as violent as it sounds, but perhaps you can tell us.
I hope it's exactly as violent as it sounds. No, just kidding. So this event was created last year in New York City. There is a wonderful soprano named Martha Guth who lives in Ann Arbor. She is connected to an organization in New York City called Sparks and Wiry Cries. How's that for an artistic title?
Yeah.
She is co-artistic director of that organization, and they're involved with Art Song. They came up with this idea that is absolutely, truly innovative. The Song Slam is a competition for newly composed art song that's run kind of like a poetry slam. That's why the word slam is in the title. It's a straight-up competition. Teams of composer, pianist, and singer register with a world premiere art song. It has to be less than 5 minutes long and never performed before. Oh. Other than that, there's no stylistic restriction placed on it. And it has to be an art song. It has to be for a singer and a pianist.
Right.
we open registration. They opened registration last year on a particular day. They took 10 teams, first come, first serve. They didn't, no resume checking, no qualifications, nothing.
Wow.
And then they
do that online, right?
Yeah, they do that online. And then they closed registration. And then on the day of the concert, they had hosts, in this case, the composer Tom Ciappullo and the singer Paul Sperry, very bright lights in the art song world.
Yeah.
They were the hosts. They picked names out of a hat to determine concert order.
Right.
And then these 10 teams performed their songs, and the audience voted on the prizes.
Wow.
So it was completely partisan.
So the trick here is to make sure that you bring all of your friends if you're one of the contestants.
Well, that's part of it. We actually are doing an interesting way of voting. We're having every audience member pick their top three choices, and then we're going from there just to try to even out the stakes a little bit.
Yeah.
We decided after hearing about this event that we wanted to be the second organization and the first organization outside of New York to do an event like this, because in Southeast Michigan we have all the things that we need. We've got
right.
composers, pianists, and singers.
So did you have a big response then when you opened it up?
A huge response. We opened registration on September 15th, and we decided we were going to take 13 teams. We had them in 49 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. And they're from all over. They're from Ann Arbor, Lansing, Detroit, Toledo. Because,
yeah.
I mean, BGSU has got a very active new music
program.
Right.
Yeah.
So I kind of love it, because I think if you said, hey, we're going to do a recital of all new music, some people, you know, there would be people who would be into that and other people who would say, hey, have a great concert.
Right.
And the same thing would happen if you said, hey, tonight we're doing an art song recital. But this is a way to essentially trick.
Make it fun.
Yes, make it fun, not trick people. No, but you can
trick them and have fun at the same
exactly.
time.
But what I think what I like about it the most is that it's not simply repackaging. It's not simply putting like a cool title on something. It's a different way to get the audience engaged, because it's truly social, and the audience is truly responding to. I mean, they're in charge of saying who walks away with the honors for the night. So I love this as a regional event. I love that we have the chance to highlight art that's being created by artists who live in this area, being created right now. And then I love having our audience, you know, local audience, saying this is what we respond to the most.
Yeah. Now, what kind of a crowd do you expect to draw to this concert? Because you think of, you know, Poetry Slam, there are people who are actively engaged in the whole kind of competition side of creating poems and expressing themselves. And there's a lot of audience interaction and participation.
Yeah.
What kind of an audience are you looking for at this event?
Well, we actually, a couple of the songs use poetry by local poets, and those poets will be in the audience.
Okay.
We expect, and we can already see through our ticket sales, that people who are personally connected with the artists and the composers are coming, of course, to stack the deck for the
right.
prizes.
Right.
But the inspiration for this, Martha was talking with me about it, is really the birth of this art form itself, right? People have been singing songs for hundreds of years, but it's in Vienna in the 1820s when mm-hmm. Schubert sort of created the lead, you know, the art song as we know it today,
yeah.
you know.
And people would have evenings of Schubert songs.
Exactly. And it was really kind of partisan, right? These events, these Schubertiads, would happen in people's living rooms. You see illustrations of them. Several were made at the time, and they're just like cheek by jowl, right? People are
yeah.
packed into these living rooms. And the poets that Schubert was composing for, they were often part of the audience, and their patrons, or people who they wanted to be their patrons, were often part of the audience. And so there must have been a little bit of a partisan feel to that.
Yeah.
You know, people looking for supporters, and also people interested in taking what folks were writing at the time and like elevating that expression through music.
It also reminds me of the plot of Die Meistersinger.
Totally right.
There's a song competition.
That's right.
And, they compete against each other and thus improve upon themselves through competition.
And I can see how you'd be attracted to that because it's always a tenor that wins those contests.
Yes. Right. For those who don't know, I was a tenor at one time. Well, it's a really interesting concept. So this is the first time it's been done outside of New York.
Yep.
Right.
We're event number two, and there are three others slated this year for cities outside of New York.
Okay.
New York just had its second event, which, like the first, oversold the house. And it looks like that's
big
what's going to happen with us, too.
Well, yeah.
Minneapolis will do the next one. Ours in Ann Arbor is being hosted by Bill Bolcom and Joan Morris. Mm-hmm. The Minneapolis event will be hosted by Libby Larson.
Wow.
And then there are two other cities. I am not sure which ones they are. But but that's also an aim of Sparks, the original organization, to sort of grow this event in different regions, in different cities across the country to support the creation of new music, of new song, and support across the country, composers and the people who are performing this music.
It's like a competition, but it is a concert. It's an event that you're presenting the world premieres of these pieces.
Yeah.
I like the fact that there's no age limit involved, for one thing, as far as the performers go and the writers go.
Yep.
It's open to anybody.
Yep.
Now, you say you take first come, first serve. I mean, you're just taking anybody who walks through the door, or is there some kind of a quality control element going on there?
There's not. One month out, we ask that people submit their scores.
Okay.
But really, the only thing that we're checking for is that the composition is done,
right?
And that they have the rights to the poetry that they're using.
Yeah.
You know, if it's not in the public domain, we need a letter from the person who made up the words,
right,
saying that the composer is able to use the words. Other than that, we don't want to put any. And this comes to us from Sparks. There's not any qualification about style, anything else. And I am definitely like a total elitist classical musician, and I really had questions about that. The quality of the submissions, I mean, I don't want to speak about them in detail, but of course I've seen all of the scores.
Right.
The quality is extremely high. I kind of can't believe that we're starting
great
at the level that we're starting at.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, there are cash prizes for the winners.
Yep. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And people can find more information. You mentioned that it's quickly selling out. We'll probably oversell. So if somebody who's listening right now wants to be sure that they get a seat,
yes,
what can they do?
They can go to our website, carrytownconcerthouse.com. and follow the links to ticket sales. They can also give us a call at 734-769-2999.
First come, first serve.
That's right. That's what we're all about.
Okay, Song Slam is happening next Tuesday, the 28th of November at 8 o'clock p.m. at Carrytown Concert House. And as my guest, Kathy Kelly, mentioned, you can find more information at carrytownconcerthouse.org. Before I let you go, Kathy, being that Thanksgiving is tomorrow, and I know that you're on your way to visit relatives in Minnesota, what's on your Thanksgiving playlist? Let's get some music to kind of go out with here.
You asked me that earlier, and one of the first things that comes to mind is from the Brahms Requiem, the beautiful, beautiful chorus, Wie lieblich deine Wohnungen sind.
Yeah. And how lovely is thy dwelling place,
yes,
as they would say.
Yeah.
In King James English.
Right, exactly.
Well, let's turn it over to a little bit of that. This is a performance from the Chicago Symphony Chorus and the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, James Levine conducting music of Johannes Brahms. You're on FM 91. And Kathy Kelly, thanks for spending some time with us today, and have fun at Song Slam.
Thanks.